Hey, 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 friends. It is Mimi Nava, yes, the one and only Lit Southern Belle. And all out here like me, y'all know that. But y'all know what this is. It's the Lit Southern Belle giving you the rule book to flourish in your life through all the positives and negatives, or flourish through the positive negatives of your life, however you want to phrase it. I'm helping you to be you and to flourish, because we all deserve to flourish, right? Right. Okay, this is part two of our process series. Yes, and today we'll talk about self-identification, because, oh Jesus, that is a tough, tough thing, because we always change what we identify ourselves as, because we grow and we change and we evolve as a whole. There's a difference between change and evolve. I feel like evolve has a sense of elevation to it. You move up. Change, you can change for the worst, but that's a whole nother topic for a later time, isn't it? I really feel like self-identification is important, because who are you without your friends, your family, your job, your job, ooh, I was about to say career, but your job, your followers, your house, your cars, and your relationship, because that people define themselves a lot to relationship nowadays. But who are you without the external things that this world places on us? What do you define yourself as? And what are you authentically, what is your authentic, you know, self? This is really hard to phrase. This is gonna be a tough, tough episode to talk about, because I am in the process myself struggling with self-identification. Because when you look up, you look around, you have to realize, who am I without this relationship? Who am I without these friendships? And will I, if I was just left alone with just me today, would I be okay? And sometimes you're not satisfied with the answer. Sometimes you sit and you look like, you're like, damn, I am not okay with that. Like, I don't want to be by myself. That's okay. Some people who are naturally extroverted, like your girl here, they don't want to be by themselves. They're not meant to be lonely. They feel like their presence, their vibe, their energy is meant to be shared with someone else that's going to add on to it, not drain it. But no, it is important to know who you are. Because if you don't know who you are, you don't know what you want, and you don't know who you want. Ooh, I've learned that the hardest way possible. But also I've learned it through friendships, failed friendships. In the fact that you fail, a lot of failed friendships to find good friendships. So it's a lot of process. And this is a process that you will keep running through over and over and over again, because like self-cleansing, you have to sit, and it gets to a point you gotta just remove. It's like spring cleaning. Self-identification and self-cleansing go hand in hand, because you have to realize what you are, who you are, to realize what you need to get rid of. But look, let me stop, because this is just the intro. I'm gonna let all this of what I said sink into your mind, and we're just gonna jump into the episode. All right. All right, my friends, and we are back. Yes. So, I know what y'all thinking. Mimi, how you get to this topic? Sis, what you been doing? Okay, y'all, I ain't going to my personal business. What I will do is that I've been doing some digging in within myself. And also, I got this app called The Pattern. And, you know, I'm a believer of all the astrology and the, you know, it's gonna be a big moon tomorrow, new moon tomorrow. That's, I think it's today or tomorrow, wherever you at, it's today, sometimes it's tomorrow. That's cool. I wanna sit outside and just watch it. Is that just me? I'm weird like that. Never mind. But I just believe that sometimes astrology, your sign, your natal chart, those things can help you kind of pinpoint who you are on a basis. And so I saw the app, The Pattern. I saw what it was doing for other people. It was pointing out characteristics that they had, good and bad. And I know people are saying, oh, it may be vague, it may not always be true. Look, bro, you believe what you want to believe. I said this, you believe, no one's bashing you for believing in all these religions. So eh. You know, we all believe in something that is not tangible, but that's a whole nother topic and a whole nother conversation for another day. Okay, we all believe in prayer, and we have, and you know, we always have proof that it works. So why can't we believe in astrology the same way? And why can't we believe in manifestation? Okay, that's a whole nother topic, but let me move on. So I was looking at this app called The Pattern, and I was like, this is interesting. People have been saying it's been helping them out and helping them pinpoint phases of their life. And like I say, we're young adults. We're going through these phases in our life. We are changing and forever growing. Some of us just finished our first year of college, and we are not the same people we were when we stepped up on that campus, happy and eager, and graduated with all this graduation money in our hands, and now we're broke. Or now we're in an apartment and we're trying to just pay rent. We're just trying to pay rent and survive to the next, but we're trying to pay rent and hope our next three paychecks, well, really our next two, can help us enjoy the most out of it. I don't know about y'all, but that's what I'm trying to do, because sis is trying to not be homeless. But of all funny jokes aside, I looked at the app and it pointed out a lot of characteristics about me that have been said by others. And it's not criticism that's negative, it's constructive, because it's by people who love me and who really care about me and they want to see me do well. But the difference between friends and that care about you and friends who just like to talk about you, that's a whole nother episode. Man, I'm just dropping episode ideas left and right. Let me get my journal. But I looked at this app and I looked at these patterns and I looked at these phases that they said I was going to go through because of what I've been through. And they give you this whole questionnaire of things that you've gone through, experiences. They ask you to share. So it's kind of like a counselor in a way. And you, they tell you what you're going to run into, because it's just life. It's really just life. And you really have to realize that life is a huge cycle. Life is a huge little circle. It's a little ball of experiences. You will never stop. And you'll never stop being dumb with, you know, people, experiences, and bad stuff, and all these other types of negative energy that the world brings onto us. But it's to make us stronger. And when I looked at my pattern, I saw a lot of characters that I am and that I need to claim. I also realized that I need to change the way I label myself firsthand. But also, I also looked at, it said that I tend to hold on to relationships and friendships longer than needed to. And for the friendship part, that's correct. And our relationship part, I haven't had much experience, so I can't really like give you a background or give you like a whole synopsis of that, because relationships, I don't have much of a handle on or a thing like that. I haven't had much experience doing so with relationships. Sometimes I don't even get to a relationship point, only one time, but at that point, it's just kind of like, I don't know, like I can't really say that's right for the relationship aspect. But for the friendship aspect, yes, I tend to be friends with people longer than I should, and they don't treat me as well. And I kind of ask myself, why is that? Because, you know, people ask me, like, why were you so patient with them? You know, you were still friends with them after they did this, this, and this. And I'm just like, yeah. And people ask me, why am I so patient? How did I become so patient? And my pattern said that, and it sounds silly, but this is the truth. Most people hold on to things because they feel like they have some sort, they feel like that relationship or that friendship defines them. They are such a giving person that they will give themselves to other people without expecting nothing in return. And I'm one of those people. I will love you to the ends of me until I have nothing left. And some people are like that, but even more to the extreme, to where it's dangerous. And, you know, I looked at myself and I was like, wow. Like, is this what I want to be? And I'm reading it right now, y'all, because I'm reading it right now because it is so, it's so truthful. It's like, literally, it says my pattern. You come into this life focused on relationships and all the different forms they take. And like, I'm gonna go into the one that like It says you're prone to stay in a relationship even if it's unsatisfying because you might not know who you are without someone to define yourself again. That is deep. I'm gonna break that down for y'all. Of course, people are prone to staying in relationships even if it's unsatisfying. That is how some people are. Some people are ride or die. They're like, no, I'm not leaving because this is a bad time. I'm not leaving because this person's going through a lot. I'm gonna stay with them because if something happens to me, they will stay for me. That's what we think, right? But sometimes that reason covers another reason, meaning that if I leave this, I don't know what I'll do. I don't know who I'll be. And that's how some people feel about their careers. They feel like, oh my gosh, if my career path is not this, this, and this, and I don't get this internship, I don't know who I'll be. And we have to be so careful to tie ourselves to all these things because we give other people the power to validate who we are. And, ooh, that ain't it. That is not it. It is not it. And I've learned that you don't need someone to define who you are. And some people, and in the fact that it said this, I felt insulted at first. I felt very, very, very insulted because I was like, I know who I am. And then I look back at my past experiences with other people and I'm like, I do hold on. I'm very patient. And I still love those people after they do me wrong and I let them go. I continue to love them. I don't know if that's just the God in me because we all have God in us. We have a God-like complex. It's just sometimes, it's just in different ways and aspects and forms if you believe like that. But it's really hard to sometimes let people go which you've gained so much love for them, especially if you're a naturally loving person. You don't hold hate in your heart even if that person has done the most to you. You just can't hold hate in your heart. It is definitely so hard to let them go. And it says you might not know who you are without someone to define yourself against. And I guess in a way you kind of realize who you are when you deal with other people, because other people will comment about you. And this is why I say self-identification is important, because you should know who you are. So when they do tell you who you are, you can be like, no, you're wrong. This is wrong. That's wrong. But back to me, I know this, I said this podcast was about me, but it's only right if I share my experiences with you. So you know that, like, I know what I'm talking about. Because I tell y'all, when I get up on this mic, I probably experienced some of this stuff 3 days ago. And that's why I have a big gap in between my episodes, because I had to take time to process what's going on with me. And when I take time to process what's going on with me and I deal with it and I handle it and I push through that phase, or I'm in the phase where I'm just adjusting and readjusting and relearning, I can help y'all too. That's why I said giving y'all the rule book, because I gotta write the rule book for myself before I give it to you, because I can't give you something that's empty. I refuse to give you something that's empty. I really do. If I want to really help people like I want, like I desire, I really have to make sure I'm experiencing these things as well, so I know what I'm talking about. And people are like, well, how do you know so much when you experience something firsthand? This is probably your first time experiencing it. I go to counseling. I talk to someone. I sit with someone who knows more than me. And they give me insight. And I put that into my life and I apply it. And I see that it works. I took it and I flipped it. I've learned to listen to people who know more than me about life experiences and people who went through them. Because my rule book is from friends, family, acquaintances, and people that I just look up to. Because we all go through things at different... We've all went through the same phase. It's just she went through it 6 months ago, she went through it 3 weeks ago, and she's going through it today. That's how some people are. And that's how funny life works. And that's, to me, if you believe in a higher power, that's how the higher power works. They place you in different phases. They'll give you the same phase, but they'll give it to you at different times. It's never at the same time. It's very rare if it happens at the same time, because that's how some people's spirits just sink. But that's a whole nother thing. But my thing, with me is like when I sat and realized that it said, who are you without your external relationships and just everything else? And I'm gonna read the exact post because it's very, very, very insightful. And it's kind of like, you know, it makes me kind of realize, like, do I really, 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 like, dislike myself that much? But then I realized, I was like, I shouldn't feel guilty for wanting to be with other people and enjoy a connection with other people, but it has to be the right people. And I realized that I'm in this phase of expansion. I'm expanding my thoughts. I'm expanding my environment. I kind of need to do stuff that's not the norm or that's not safe. And I realized that the thing that I, but also too, I'm in this fight with myself that some things that I want are normal, and that's just not the way that everybody else is on. But at the same time, I shouldn't feel bad for the things that I want, because there's going to be someone out there to give them to me in all aspects of my life. Friendship, all of it, you know, all of it. But I just was crazy when I read this. I felt like I needed to just kind of like take time and just chill. And I think that's why I've been gone so long, because I told myself I'll release a podcast every day, because it's the summer season, you know. The new season begins in the fall when school starts back. I'll take a week off before school starts back, so I really got to get to work on these episodes. But y'all, when life happens, you gotta have to just sit still and just let it flow through you. And I'm a content creator. I'm an artist in a way. I'm sensitive about my shit. And I can't give you content. I can't give you content, especially quality content, if I've not experienced it, if it's not genuine. And when I really sat here and I realized, like, have I ever been a time where I've been just by myself in complete solitude? And this is what got me. Part of your life's journey is to learn to individuate, to become your own person and not need to rely on others to feel whole. You're getting to know yourself through yourself, and as a reflection of someone else or your culture, you're also discovering that it's okay to be different and stray away from what's expected. If more than 50% of your identity is based on trying to make sure you have a partner in your life or obsessively maintain the relationship you're in, then you veered off your path and are working against yourself. Meaning that I need to chill, take a walk if I get bored, if I find myself thinking about things that are negative, listen to music. I have to find other ways to cope with this healing. And, you know, enough about me. This next, you know, we come back, I'm gonna tell y'all how I'm taking, not how I'm, but how you should go about this self-identification process, and also how it comes about, because in a way it hits you upside the head. Like, you think you know who you are and you think you know what you've been doing, but in actuality it's stuff that you've been told your whole life, so you think that's what you believe too, and then you realize you get by yourself and it's just like the complete opposite. And you flip it on its head. And you also get some people who have some nasty reactions. But stay tuned. I'm going to go into that some more. All right, friends. And we back. Ooh, did y'all look at the moon? Because after this episode, after I do this recording, I'm about to go out, get my sweatpants on, sit out there and look at the moon. Yeah, I'm weird. I'm gonna look at the moon. I'm gonna write in my journal. Because I just can't. That's why. But no, y'all. We back. Alright. come about, this is the part two of our process series, self-identification. Who are we without all of the external things that the world puts on us? All right, so you grow up, right? You're a kid. You know, you do what you're told. You do what you feel is right. Do what you're supposed to do. Get to high school, get to middle school, start to try new things. You start to realize that you gain a sort of independence of doing stuff yourself, but not fully what an adult would do. And this is just basic psychology. It's the little steps of how. I'm gonna look it up for y'all because, like, it's very useful. And I did a project on this. Yes, I do my projects. Don't make fun of me. But it was a project on this, and it's called the a lifespan of what would happen. And you know, we don't really realize how much psychology is in our lives until we have to go to counseling or we have to go to. But y'all, the Erikson's psychological stages of development, you know, you grow up, you're an infant, not grow up, but you're an infant. You have a trust versus mistrust. You're uncertain about the environment. You know, the first people you trust are your parents because they take care of you. They make sure that you're not hurt, whatever. Perfect. Then, you know, you get older, you learn how to feed yourself, you know how to do motor skills. So you get some type of autonomy. But if you don't get that, you feel ashamed, you feel doubt, you feel like you're a failure. You know, this child is, the person is concerned with getting basic skills down and getting a sense of independence. They don't want their mom to put their clothes on anymore. They don't, you know how some kids, they'd be like, I don't want you to brush my teeth. I don't want you to pick out my outfit. I want to pick out my outfit. And the outfit be tacky, but they'd be so proud they picked it out because they feel like they could do it on their own. And, you know, you get into that also elementary stage where they make up games. They initiate versus guilt. They're exploring interpersonal skills. They're playing with others. They're doing activities. They're probably playing, you know, in recess, playing games. And you get into middle school. You have industry versus inferiority. Now, I wouldn't say middle school. This is like before middle school. So it's like, I would say like fourth, fifth grade, sixth grade, where they're getting their reading and skills and math skills. You know, it's getting a little harder than 1, 2, 3. So the teachers play a big role in their life. You have another external thing. It's not your, it goes from your parents to teachers and students. And you know, if you don't feel like you can do the work, you feel inferior to the teacher and to the people in the classroom. And you feel inferior to school as a whole, which this right here is one of the biggest phases we ignore. And that's why a lot of kids tend to dislike learning. But that's a whole nother topic. But when you get after that, you have identity versus role confusion. This is where you're in middle school. You know, you just hit 13. You gain more independence. You question your personal identity as a whole. You look into your beliefs and values that have been placed on you by your parents as a kid or possibly your school. Because some people go to very religious-based schools and their parents put them in that. So the teacher, the school, and the parents are a big influence on them in their religion, their culture, all of that. So you kind of look more into, like, you know, is what I believe right? Am I really comfortable with believing this? But you don't say anything because you feel like you don't have the power to. Now, after you go through middle school and high school, adolescence is 13 to 18. If I'm not mistaken. You know, any psychology majors out there or psychology people out there can correct me because your girl's a mass media major. But you get to the next stage in your young adults. Intimacy versus isolation. Now, this is the stage where self-identification those blocks that you built in your adolescence age is very important. Because if you don't know who you are and you can't identify yourself, this stage where you concerned to have an intimate relationship, because in this stage now, I don't care what nobody says. I don't care people say, like, I don't give no ifs about no dude. This, yes, you do. Any young adult, their main concern is to have an intimate relationship that lasts a long time. Some people avoid relationships and end up in isolation due to not knowing who they are and what they want, and due to not knowing how to attract what they want. Also a frustration in that. They may be a great person, but they don't know how to attract what they want, so they give up and they're just like, forget it. I'm gonna be by myself. Instead of trying to mingle and try again, or also seek other sources to find those people that they want. Because also, too, you, when you go out and mingle with people, you have to be careful where you mingle. Because those are the type of people you don't want is based off the places that you mingle at. I'm sorry. And also, it's based off really what you keep running into. I don't care what nobody says. We all have a type. And sometimes that type is not the best for us. And we have to just stop it. But, you know, that's when your identity comes into play. Like, who am I and what am I going to put up with? And then you have role confusion. Role confusion is kind of just like, I don't know who I am. I don't know what I want to be. I'm just going through 3 different phases. Like, you know that kid in middle school that would go through a phase every year or every 3 months. You know, for the first 3 months, they'll be goth or in all black. And then the next 3 months, they'll be like this hippie type of thing. And, you know, it's stuff like that. And we see some people in college who are still going through those types of things. And you'll see people like that try to get in relationships and they don't work because they haven't found a stable identity. I'm not saying you can't be versatile. No. But they haven't found any basic morals for themselves or basic foundations of what they should go by when looking for other people and looking for partners. That's just key. So when you have intimate isolation, this is the stage now where you see people who are isolating themselves because they don't know who they are. And they're taking this isolation phase for themselves so they can move into the intimacy phase and not feel like they are wasting someone's time. Because I don't know, this is just me, but if you've been in a relationship and the person said they needed space from you to figure out who they are, trust me, let them have that space. Let them figure out who they are. Don't even worry about if they come back to you or not. Give them the peace of mind and the respect that you will let them do them, and you will let them try to find their best version of themselves and get better. Because if you don't know who you are, that's a very frustrating stage. And if you don't know who you are without the likes of a relationship or a job or a career or a school, sometimes we let schools define who we are instead of defining our own type of destiny or path for our career or our lives. And some people think their career is equivalent to their lives. And sometimes you have to separate that because some jobs or careers do not care about your life or your mental health. You have to care about that. You know, you have to kind of keep that in check for yourself in order so you can do your job correctly, in order so you can be present and be as effective, be as, you know, efficient as you are in all aspects of your life. You have to take care of you first because you can't pour with an empty cup. You cannot pour with an empty cup. I wish somebody would try to tell me, no, you don't need to sleep that much. No, you don't need a self-care day. Go out and work. I wish somebody would tell me that. No, you know what I do? I'll think they're crazy, and I'll think they'll have mental issues that they have not addressed with themselves. And that thing sounds harsh, but that's the truth. If you think you don't have to have a day to yourself to take care of yourself, how are you going to take care of other people? How are you going to pour your knowledge or wisdom to other people if you haven't sat and processed your own life? Backwards. So we're at the stage now where some people want to be in relationships. Some people want to be in these long-lasting relationships, in these relationships that are just beautiful, wonderful. They see them on Twitter, Instagram. They're going on trips. They've been here since they were 18. They're 23 now. People want that. people want that. But then you look around and realize they tried that at 18. Relationship didn't work. It worked for like, what's a relationship that's not short, but it's not like a year. It's like in the middle, like, what? It was like a 9 months, like a pregnancy type of relationship. It was 9 months. Didn't work. Or somebody went to college and towards the end of first semester, they got with somebody, they come back second semester, they're with somebody that they're, you know, cause cuffing season, you know, that's when it gets cold. It's after homecoming. After homecoming, you know, festivities, you settle down, it gets cold, get someone to snuggle with, cuddle with, and you know, you think you all in love with them, and really they just like to snuggle and cuddle with you, because when it gets started getting hot, they want you to be gone, unless they really, really like you, and it's just like, oh, you know, reel it in. But also, too, after freshman year, the person you met while you were in college is not the same person you're going to meet when you finish that freshman year. Because over the summer, they may not come back. They may not even, you know, some people decide to not come back to school. And it's for multiple reasons. Some people decide not to come back to school. Some people decide that, you know, maybe, the relationship was moving a little too fast. And they realized that I'll have to commit and this will get harder and I'm not ready for that. Let them go. Let them do them. Let them get everything together and let them just, I don't know, hone in on themselves. And you know what you do? You take that time to hone in on yourself. Because funny thing with self-identification is that things like that have to happen to you in order for you to realize, well, who am I without this person? Because I was so used to this person being with me that I don't know how to act. I don't know what to do. Some people be like, I can't even sleep. You know, I guess some people who, you know, in a relationship and they lived with the person, I guess, it's hard for them to sleep because they used to sleeping with that one person every night for, I would say, months and months and months at a time. And it gets hard to sleep. They sit up, they have insomnia, really, and they just sit up and just scroll and scroll and scroll. They know it's miserable, but they have nothing else to do. And they can't call that person, tell them they miss them, because that's just so, that's just self-damage itself. Jesus, fix it. But you're in a time where it's intimacy. Ooh, I keep mispronouncing that word. Jesus, fix it. But intimacy versus isolation. You want intimacy, but also too, you realize that in order to get the intimacy that you want, you have to be in isolation mode to work on yourself. Because also too, you may be ready for a relationship, but are you emotionally ready for a relationship? Are you mentally ready for a relationship? That may be what you want, but you gotta prepare yourself for what you want. You can't say, I want abs, and not work out for them or not put in the work for them. You gotta put work into yourself before you can just throw yourself with a relationship, because relationships are nothing to play with. Those people who post all those cute pictures, you don't know how much work they put into just being with that person, getting to know that person, studying that person, and just knowing the ins and outs of them and knowing if they really, really, really want to be with them. Because the scary thing about a relationship is that you don't expect to actually be with that person. You're just meeting people, mingling with people until you find someone who's willing to stay or willing to take you back, whatever. And it's one of those things, it's just, what do you do when you have all the things that you've always known, friendships? Because I hate to say it, you go to college, your friends stay at home, or your friends go to a college in a different state. They see you doing good, you come back home, you know, folks praising you, they get a little jealous. Funny thing is, you in college, they stop talking to you, conversation goes down, everything gets, you know, shorter, and then to the point where they just spaz on you and they act like they just don't like you, they're envious of you. And you have to realize that sometimes going away from people, you see how they truly are. And I hate to say it, with friends, it's hard to keep up a friendship that lasts. I've seen people who've been friends for 9 years and they just stop. It's because they've grown up, they have excuses for why they take the toxic behavior. They're like, oh, I grew up with them. You know, friends go through stuff. All right, since you're now older and you know better and you do better, do you know yourself enough to put up with this or get yourself out of this to know that you deserve completely better as a friend? And, you know, that's why a lot of young adults struggle, especially in this day and age. Generation Z, yeah, 1997 to 2000, us, 19 to 21 deals with this mess is because we've failed to realize who we are and we failed to realize what we deserve. We have failed to really grasp what we want out of relationships and connections with other people because we fail to identify ourselves. We fail to identify what we want to be because we never took time to isolate ourselves. We were always told, oh, you're a loner, that's weird, this, that, and the third. Bump all of that. Take time to be alone. And I hate to say it, when you're done with high school and you get to college, sometimes that's the best time. You sit back, you evaluate everybody. That's the only thing closest to the real world you'll get before you get dumped into the real world. Depends on where you go to school. Also, too, if you have to be like a networker and stuff like that, you really get to know how people are and you really get to know the ins and outs of public relations with people. And also just networking with people and just interpersonal skills. And my gosh, I can talk about this all day. But when you deal with self-identification, I wouldn't say there's some steps, but there's some things you have to keep in mind. But we're gonna be back with that because I'm gonna hit y'all up with them, you know. Because I got a little things for y'all that I done learned. Like I said, I'm giving y'all the rule book. Giving y'all the rule book. Come on now. All right, friends, we back. We back. Give me something to drink. Thirsty. You know, I want to be up here talking and just ranting and rambling. I don't know, bro. I talk a lot. I talk too much. It gets me in trouble, but might as well make a brand off of it, right? Right. Might as well help other people, right? Even if they don't want to listen to me, even if I do talk too much and I talk too fast and I talk too long, look, somebody out there want to listen to me. But no, y'all, we back. It is the Lit Southern Belle Podcast with your girl. Not even with your girl. It is with the one and only, the Lit Southern Belle, Mimi Nava. And we are here. We're back. We're present. We're live on this wonderful full moon that I'm going to see soon because, I heard it's looking beautiful. So, all right, y'all. I said before in the last segment that I would give you some things to think about when self-identifying yourself. And there's some things that I have learned through working on myself. Because like I said, I work on myself. That's how I can give y'all this rule book. Because I can't get out this rule book if I'm not working on myself either. Because I'm not finna sit up here like I'm perfect. Because some of these things that I make episodes about, I'm dealing with them my damn self. So it's just like, hey, what's up? I'm gonna help you help me. Because even though you may not be going through it now, but when you do go through it, you can come back to listen to these and be like, damn, she was right. I know how she was feeling on this, and this day, at this and this time when she dropped that episode. I want folks to feel like that when they listen to my episode. I want them to feel like I'm talking to them. Some of y'all may not know me, but I want y'all to feel like I'm talking to you personally and I help you. I want to be that friend that helps you. That's why I say my friends, because everybody is my friend. Anyone that wants to listen to me and take me into, you know, into consideration for any part of giving advice to their life, bro, that is an honor to me, a full-on honor. But let's get into these things with self-identification. I wouldn't say they're tips. I wouldn't even say that they are, you know, rules. I just say that these are things to keep in mind. Now, go about them however you will, because everybody's life is different, and everyone has a different event that has brought them to self-identify themselves. My thing for this is, number one, stop labeling yourself based off what people said to you. Meaning, I'm not saying you can't listen to constructive criticism from your friends that love you and care about you and from your family, but stop and really, really think about what the labels mean. And think to yourself, do I really fulfill that definition? And if you don't think so, change that. Change how you talk to yourself. Really, that's what I'm getting at. Number one, change how you talk to yourself and how you talk about yourself. How you label yourself is very important, because if someone hears you, how you label yourself and how you talk about yourself and how you do this and how you do that and how you, you know, just, you know, beat up on yourself, folks gonna think they can beat up on you too, and they gonna have fun with you. You don't want that for yourself. When you're identifying yourself, you have to make sure that what you're putting out is what you want to get back. It is what you want to get back. You never want to put out anything that's false and get something back that you're like, well, where did this come from? You put it out there. That's not what I intended. Make sure every vibe, energy, anything you manifest into the air is intentional. Do it with the most intent to flourish. Y'all gonna get tired of me saying that word, but I don't think you understand how important that word is in your life. That's a whole nother episode. But no. And number two, sit down and truly write down. Write down what you want in friendships, in relationships, and also with your career. And do those things line up with the things you want with yourself? Because some people tie themselves to things and it doesn't even align with who they are authentically. And then they wonder why they keep falling for the same folks, and they all be raggedy. They all be just beat up looking. And stop. Stop. Sit down. Get a journal. Journal what you want in your life. When you write and you speak it out loud, you are manifesting those things. And if you keep going on the path that you're supposed to go on, then damn it, that's going to manifest for you. That's going to come true for you. You just got to give it time. Keep doing what you're doing. Stick to the plan and everything will work out. My thing is with that is that some people don't know what they want. That's okay. You take time. You feel your way around. Because right now, when people who don't know what they want, they're in the dark. They are just present. They're just sitting there in the dark and they're just like, I'm gonna just sit here until something hits me over the head. That's cool. Some people gotta be like that. Some people gotta get hit over the head. Some people gotta get hit in the chest. Some people gotta be punched in the damn throat. Look, I don't know. You just have to really sit and think like, okay, what do I really want? What makes me happy? All right, let me try some things. Let me try these things and see if these things make me happy. Make a list. Journal and write down the things that you have. Because I feel like journaling is important. Journaling is very important with your life, especially as a young adult. You have to sit and write down your experiences as a young adult, because, damn it, them shits are precious. And God forbid if you lose your memory, you can go back to those journals and refer to it. Your journal can become a book for your life and inspire others. That's my goal, really. If I have a journal that's that damn good, especially college years, I'll turn that shit into a book. I ain't finna hold y'all. I'll turn that into a book. No cap. But you have to really, really realize that when you journal and write things down, you're writing it into existence. By you writing it, it's writing it into the atmosphere. You're writing your thoughts into the atmosphere. Because you don't ball up the paper. You keep it there. You store it. And you just, God, you just hold it there. And I think that is so beautiful. It's so nice. It's touching. It's an intimate time with yourself. When you write and vent about your day, sometimes that's the best thing you can do. Because not everyone can go to a counselor. Not everybody has the opportunity to go to things like that. But also, too, you might want to invest in doing so. Because sometimes a counselor is like a personal trainer for your emotions and for your brain. You know, you may not be in shape up there, but you want to get in shape. So what you do, you go to someone who knows how to read these things, know how to handle these things. Also too, because they have life experience, and they also have the skills and the education to do so. That's another thing about self-identification. Now, I know I said don't go to external, you know, sources, but also too, some people deal with self-identification problems because of some mental illnesses they think that they don't know that they have. Some people aren't aware that they have anxiety or depression or, you know, OCD or, you know, bipolar disorder. Some people aren't aware of those things. Some people aren't aware at all. I'm not saying that their reason why they're called is that they can't, you know, do well in their relationships, but it plays a factor. If you can't handle your own emotions, you definitely cannot handle someone else's. Cannot do it. Cannot, won't not, will not, whatever. It just won't happen. It ain't it, chief. So you really, really have to just think about. And like also too, I'm gonna throw back to, you know, the previous episode, self-cleansing. You have to cleanse the things around you in order to move in the new energy, and it's positive energy, and it's moving the new vibrations, elevate up a vibration. Shit, you may clean yourself up and clean everything up around you and be like, oh damn, I done moved up. These people that coming back to me talking about they sorry and they want to make up me and come back into my life, I don't even know if they're on my level anymore. I don't even know if they change their behavior anymore. I don't even want them. I didn't even realize that I stopped missing them. That's how some people get. That's how some people get with relationships and friendships. They be like, I realize I stopped missing them. I realize that I stopped, you know, dwelling over them. I stopped thinking about them. I stopped crying over them. That's that thing that you realize. Because you've pushed through, you kept going. Yeah, you cried all you could cry, but sometimes you stop crying. One day you look up, you stop crying. You're living again. You're out there again. You're smiling again. And you truly wake up happy again. You can go to bed at night peacefully with no heartache on your heart and no weight on your head. On your shoulders, feeling like I miss those person's arms, I miss those person's warmth and comfort and love and their energy right beside me. You don't feel that anymore. You don't want that anymore. You just want to be left the hell alone. Sometimes you have to clean those things around you to realize that I just really have to be, you know, that's the next point I'm bringing up. Adjust. Adjustment is the hardest thing to do, because once you get rid of that thing that's been causing you problems, it's been causing you all this stress, you're losing weight, you got your skin all messed up and bumps all on your face and your hair falling out, you realize it's like, dang, you get, you know, after a week, yeah, you crying, you're not eating, you're not sleeping, you looking busted. You know, people have that kind of effect over you if you let them drive you crazy enough. Yeah, you gonna look a little busted. You know, they always say, happy weight, that's a such thing. Happy weight. You with someone that's making you happy, you gonna take care of yourself. Your skin's gonna glow. You're gonna have a glow when you take care of yourself. But sometimes people ain't gotta take care of you for you to get happy weight and you to get this happy look. You gotta just take care of your damn self until someone adds on to that. That's just my tea on that. You have to take care of yourself and glow by yourself until you find another little till you find a partner to glow with you. That's just simple. You know, it's one of those things. It's just, it's like you have to do good on your own and prove that you're able to stay on your own until you get this new gift. You know, like, you know how they always say, like, I'm going to give you this flip phone, see how you treat that. Because if you don't treat this flip phone right, you won't get this smartphone. You know how our parents used to do us? You ain't going to get this touchscreen phone until you treat this flip phone better and you keep up with it and you take care of it and you put your effort into being responsible. If you can't be responsible with yourself, what the hell you think you finna be responsible about a relationship? Because you're not about to do it. You're about to mess it up, screw it all up, have it all tore up. Your feelings gonna be tore up. They feelings gonna be tore up. You're gonna waste each other's time and it's gonna be a mess. That's just facts. That is just plain put out facts. It will be a mess. So I'm saying this to myself, really. Take the time to chill on everything and everybody. Have fun in the process, yes, because it's summertime. You know, we out here living life. You get, go out in the sun, walk around, you know, wake up early, get out that bed. Unless you watch an anime, you stay in the bed. I encourage that. But get out that bed, go up, get up and do something with your life, and don't do too much and all this, that, and the third. You know what I'm saying? Just chill with yourself. And if those people who, you know, they came out your life, they excuse themselves from your life because they didn't want to mess your life up or mess up what you got going on, and they come back to you and you realize that they changed and that they upgraded themselves so they can be better for you, you know, it's your choice or whatever to take them back or not. And you don't have to do anything. And whatever you choose, don't let a single soul make you feel guilty for it. Because if you really love that person, yes, you will take them back. If you really don't like that person, you realize now, like, I'm fine. Yeah, I'm chilling. Like, I don't really see myself, see you in this part of my life anymore. That's fine, too. You choose your destiny. You choose your path. You choose all of that extras. It's not even extras. You choose all those things for your life. People may be talking about you because, like, oh, she messed up. Why she do that? Why she take them back as a friend? Some people deserve second chances. Some people deserve third chances. Some people deserve chances in general because we are all growing and learning. No one's going to be perfect when they step into your life. But if you see that they've changed themselves for the better and they're ready to come back and give you some act right, at least you can do is hear them out. But if you feel like they're not going to give you no type of act right, then you have the right to also say no. But if you feel like they're going to give you some act right and you feel like they're going to really, really, really just do you some justice or like really do better this time, you make them start out slow. You make them rebuild everything back up. Because if they're willing to rebuild everything back up with you, start all over from scratch with a clean slate, everything that they've done for you in the past, invalid. Everything they've done for you in this past friendship or relationship, invalid. You got to start all over. If they're willing to start all over with you and take it real, real slow, like turtle slow, and just earn everything back from a hug, a kiss, and sometimes even sex. Some people who get sexually involved with their partners, it may take them 6 months for them to ever have sex with them again because they want to make sure that they really, truly change. Because some people put up the fronts and be like, oh, I've changed. They put up for three weeks and then they be back to their old same bullshit. You don't want that. You have to make sure people really earn all of you back. And when you take these people back into your life, you have to make them work for it. Make them crawl. Make them put them to work. You punishing them. You punish them for doing you dirty when you've done nothing wrong but love them and care for them. And that's just really what it is. But you don't come to those terms until you identify with yourself that I deserve better than this. And if you're finna come back into my life and you ain't got no type of act right, then get your ass on. That's what you say, and you know you deserve better than what you've gotten from that person. If they can't give you better than what they gave you before, then you definitely have reached the point of self-identification. You will never be done with this phase of your life because, Jesus, Because you're going to get jobs. You're going to get houses. You're going to get more friends. You're going to become, your circle's going to be more complex with more different types of people because of your career and your other things and all this, that, and the third. That you're never going to stop self-identifying yourself, and you're never going to stop changing what you mean to other people. You never, ever will. That's one of the things that is so beautiful about being a human, is that what you identify as in your 20s is not the same as you identify as in your 30s. And what you identify as a teenager is not the same as you identify when you hit 20, 21, 22. It's never going to be the same. It won't. Because how many of y'all can really say what you identified yourself with as 16, 17, 18 is same as you are if you 19 or 20? Exactly. And some of y'all are starting to realize that I used to identify with this when I was 17, 18. Now I'm 19. I'm going to turn 20 in like a good 6-7 months. I'm starting to grow out of that. You form, you evolve every year. If you're the same person you were 6 months ago, you are not doing a damn thing. And you just need to just stop. You need to go out. I don't know. If you're the same as individual you were 6 months ago, emotionally and mentally, then damn it, you just one stagnant ass person. Because that's not how your life's supposed to be, bro. If you're not changing, you're not learning. You're not changing, you're not learning. That's just cap. That's no cap. Oop. I'm trying to like actually learn what that means. I'm joking, I know what that means. But no, like that's just facts, man. You cannot learn and just not change. You're not learning, because if you really learn what has been dealt to you, you apply what you learned to your life, and you realize that changes your life, and that changes your outlook, it changes everything around you. Some people just don't know that. Some people just don't see it that way, which is why some people get stuck in their same old ways, and it's a mess. But you know what, we all got it. We all gonna graduate. We all gonna get through this summer. Some of this time, you know, this is a hot girl summer, but it's also been a very, very, very informative summer about who we are. You know, some of us went up on a limb and just been on our own and learned about ourselves and gained this independence and just really, really, really realized, who am I without my family? That's what they realized first. Who am I without my family? They're not telling me what to do every day. They're not making me clean up every day. I do these stuff. I get up and do this. I get the initiative to get up and do these things. Who am I? Some of y'all probably just, I see a lot of people, they've been breaking up. Who are you without their relationship, sis? Yes, you've been knowing them since freshman year of college, since the beginning of first semester. Here you are about to be a sophomore. Who are you? And also, too, this is college. The person that breaks up with you, 9 times out of 10, they weren't ready for you. But that does not mean that they were a bad person. It just means that they weren't ready for you at that time. Now, if they don't come back, then that's just their choice. They don't come back. You can't do nothing about that. But if they do come back, you have to think about that. Are you the same person? Are they the same person? Can this work again because y'all both changed? That's a lot of questions you have to ask about people, especially with friends as well. Because we also face this in high school. There's some people that we fell out with probably middle school, freshman year, and then senior year, we're all graduating, we're like, oh my gosh, you know, I really like you now. Like, you really weren't that bad. I guess we squashed all the beef, and it's just like, it's cool, whatever. It is what it is now. We cool. Sometimes people change and evolve, and you change too, and you come back around, and you be the bigger person, initiate the conversation, and just squash all the beef, and you just like, let's start over. Sometimes it be like that with friends. You just are like, let's start over. Let's just squash all this bullshit. Let's just not be petty no more. Like, because spewing on this negative energy ain't finna do nothing. It ain't finna make me look better. It ain't finna make you look better. And that's just that, you know? Some people have to realize that they are above that. They have to be the bigger person. And if that person doesn't want to be the bigger person with you, then it just shows you what their character is at and where their head is at. And that you did all you could possibly do. That's just it, fam. That's really all I can say about that. That's just facts. That's self-identification for you. Hello, 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 friends. Hey, my friends, Yes, it is the one and only, the lips on the bell. It is Mimi Nava back in your airwaves, on your devices, in your ear, if you got on headphones. Look, y'all, I hope y'all enjoyed the episode today. I hope y'all really gained something. I hope y'all got a page out the rule book and you can slap it on your life and be like, ha. I really hope that y'all can do that today. I hope that y'all can just make it happen. Like I said, I'm giving you a rule book to flourish through the positive and negatives in your life. It's for young adults. You may be 30 and dealing with this. But no, I hope y'all enjoy. Long story short, I want y'all to follow me personally at mimi.nava_. So if y'all don't know how to spell my name, that's mimi.navah_. And if you want to follow the podcast and know what's going on, know when I'm dropping the episode, trying to be more consistent, trying to pick out some days to where, like, you know, it's showtime. You know it's showtime. You expect it. You follow me on Instagram at TheLitSouthernBell. If we get to 100 followers, I will be coming out with a Twitter for the Lit Southern Bell page. And it'll be definitely much more stuff than that. Also on Twitter, we have, you know, we got the polls and stuff now. So we'll definitely be more interactive. But I gotta get some people to interact with, you know? You get me? Alright, cool. So I'm gonna let y'all know that I love y'all. And y'all can stay flourishing, my friends.